Blog Talk Radio.
We have the new product at InfoWarsLife.com, BioTrue Selenium.
We've had so many requests over the years for selenium, and just recently, we were able to source a certified organic bioavailable selenium from mustard seed extract. When you take selenium in the body, it actually benefits the detoxification systems in your body. It helps balance the thyroid gland. It helps detoxify.
Selenium is another one of those absolute must-haves.
The highest concentration of selenium is in the thyroid gland, but it's actually used all over the body. As a matter of fact, there's 25 genes in the body that are directly dependent upon selenium. So it really is a all-around nutrient that everybody really needs.
I'm taking it now every day. This is so key. BioTrue Selenium is the product, the best selenium that we could bring you. We believe it's the best out there at a very, very low price. Exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained. We teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
And machinery of war. Driven before them are those who betray everything beyond their greed, hate, and anger. Do you betray everything and decide to free your hide? Or will you take your best and stand for the fight? Fight for your life, for what is dearest to you. Honor and death, let your name be worthy of you. But remember, the war consumes us all.
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Welcome to the Resolution Radio Network at ResolutionRDO.com. You are listening to the St. Thomas Show. And I am your host, Sunny motherfucking T, bitches. If you want to call or listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's 607-203-5423. You can follow us on various social media outlets. We are on Telegram at Sunday Thomas Show and at Resolution RDO. You can also find us on Gab at Sunday Thomas Show, at Resolution RDO, and as well as at Real Sunday Thomas. We're also on Getter at getter.com/Sunday Thomas Show. We're also on Parler at Sunday Thomas Show. And I think that's about it. So, yeah, Parler, Gab, Getter, and Telegram. We still have a presence on Fascist Book, but obviously because my previous profile was deleted, disabled, I was not able to keep access to that, however. So, and I still got to get a hold of my provider so I can do a redirect because the website that I've been using all these years for whatever reason is not taking the redirects right, so I got to go try to contact her. I think the lady that had that website years ago has probably sold it to another company. You know, it's kept everything looking the same, talking to her years ago about some technical issues, and then she had some heart problems at the time. So she's, and I know she's probably at least 10, 15 years older than I am, so I'm sure she's probably done with all that shit and probably sold it off and went to the, you know, better pastures as opposed to the better hunting ground sky. Anyway, so we shall see. All right, so you can follow us again on various social medias there and encourage you to repost things, especially links to the shows. As well as the programs you hear at Resolution Radio Network, we have several. On Mondays, we have American Dissident Voices with Kevin Alfred Strom. Tuesdays, you can hear Solar Storm with Kyle Hunt. Thursdays is STS. Friday is the Political Cesspool with James Edwards and Keith Alexander. And on Saturdays, we have the English language program, Nordic Frontier of the Nordic Resistance Movement, our brothers in arms over there in the Scandinavian countries that are definitely leading the fight and are showing us the way, that's for sure. So, in fact, I would mind having Andreas Johansson on again soon. There's probably time for me to get back on his program. He oftentimes plays spots of me doing show promos for him on his program. So, Andreas, thank you very much. It's always very much appreciated, especially when playing for long periods of time. I am amongst other great fellow speakers and guests that have been on your program that you feature regularly on the radio spots. And again, thank you very much. I also thank you very much for sporting the Resolution Radio Blood Tea, which we still have a few of those available. I'm getting limited in size. I do believe I have some larges, maybe a medium left. I think maybe an extra large. I'll have to go look. I looked in the box in a while. A lot of our payments have been through the traditional way through snail mail, just because they make it difficult for us to even get anything going. Every time I've noticed when I get on Fascist Book, I try to set up an account. Within a week or so, I automatically get fucking, like, you know, pigeonholed. So I don't even bother anymore. I mean, Facebook is not even cool anymore. It's become MySpace. I mean, it's so fucking bad now. Matter of fact, I had posted the show link to when Harold Deager was my guest host, and he basically got to kind of do a little audio commentary of what his experiences were like behind the Iron Curtain as he grew up, raised a communist in East Germany, and, of course, met his wife, who was a very much pronounced Catholic, and became enemy of the state, and basically found out, actually, he had Austrian citizenship through his father. So it took a while to get the payment, the papers processed, but once he started doing, they literally had to run to the doors to get the hell out of there before the Stasi literally snatched them up and threw them back in. It's amazing. You can look up his book, Freedom's Nightmare, on Amazon. You might be able to find some copies there. The publishing company that published his book, I think it's out of business now, but I know he's supposed to be working on a Kindle version, which should be fairly easy. He might even update it a little bit. I recommended that he do an audio version of it. He still has a very thick East German accent, but to me it makes it sound even more credible when he's actually reading the book
as the author, and obviously ethnically because of the fact that he's actually from East Germany. So me personally, I like audiobooks for two reasons, especially if I have a decent drive, I'll listen to an audiobook. Plus the fact I feel a little closer to the author, especially if it's more of an autobiographical book, you know, as opposed to a historical topic. So, like, the only problem with, like, Ron Paul's audiobooks, he gets, like, one or two different guys to do his stuff. He doesn't do it himself, which really sucks, especially since he's getting older, because the fact that one thing that's about audiobooks is you can use those as sound bites. So that way you can always use them, you know, as just words of wisdom for future promos, whatever. But then the enemy can also use that too. So, but we do know that Usurper Obama had certain excerpts of his audiobook taken out, which was still in print, but he did not say it in the audiobook version. So that's pretty telling of what, how much of a snake he is trying to hide his true intentions. Okay, so we have a lot we're going to cover. So basically, the title of the show tonight is Rise Up, and I also featured the song Dry Testament off of the album Dark Roots of Earth from 2012. So that was kind of one of their big comeback albums. You know, they had already come back with Formation of Damnation, taking a little break, and then came back full-blown with that. It was a really, really rock-solid album. And then they had Thrash Roots of the Earth, or Dark Roots of Thrash, which is a double live album and DVD. So some good stuff on there. And but then they came out with Brotherhood of the Snake, which I did not think was as good as it could have been. A lot of the tracks in there were kind of boring. Nothing really to excite you. But then they come out with the current one, Titans of Creation, which is really badass. That album is rock solid, dude. To me, that's just as good as Dark Roots of Earth, if not a little bit better. They just have a lot of energy in that record, and it's always some good shit. So I always enjoy good thrash metal, especially from the 80s on the way up. Some of those bands still put it out, like Overkill. And I'm not a big Anthrax fan. I finally got to see Anthrax live a few years ago, opening for Slayer. And I tell you, I just was not impressed. I was like, you know, Joe Belladonna was back in the band, which is it was just cool. But I actually like John Bush better. I thought they were a little bit better with John Bush. And plus the fact they're trying to change their sound a little bit. But that being said, I've seen them. Not real big. It's like I saw Slaughter years ago, 1994, McGuffey's. And I got to meet the whole band. Got them all four original members to sign my the Wildlife CD, the original uncensored cover. And 6 months later, guitarist Tim Kelly died in a motorcycle accident. So I was like, wow, that fucking was awesome. But I'd seen him recently with Vixen, and I say, but Vixen was really impressive. I thought they were pretty rock solid. Roxy Petrucci's a damn good drummer, plus she's still smoking hot. I think she was better now than she did back in the day. And new guitarist replaced original founder, Jake Newman, who died from, I believe, cervical cancer. She goes by Britt Lightning, Mr. Action, Britt DeSano, I think. She damn good looking fucking gal, dude. She's fucking gorgeous. But think Britney Spears was wielding an axe. I mean, that's the best way to describe her. She's definitely got some chops, man. The girl can play, that's no doubt. She's also played with the Iron Maidens, so she's got a fairly impressive resume in her own right. But I'm looking forward to them hopefully recording some new material because I think they got a good solid lineup. And currently, Janet Gardner is no longer with them. They do have give me a second. I just forgot a damn name. Anyway, it's the lead singer from Femme Fatale. They came out in like 1988-89. They had two minor singles. Waiting for the Big One, and the other song is telling me, hey, jeez. You know, that's another thing I really hate about digital music. This is one of the reasons why I like albums. This is why I like compact discs. And it even sounds archaic to even say compact discs instead of CDs. But I like looking at the booklets. I like seeing the artwork. I love reading the liner notes. I love reading the credits. I like seeing who they give thanks to. Things like that, and just the pictures and everything else, because it's an overall package. they are getting away from compact discs. It's really hard to find any in stores. If you do, it's, you know, a couple of the well-to-do albums or fucking best-ofs. And basically, all they do is just fucking, you know, knock them down like $5, $10 in some of these places. And you go to Walmart, you always get a clean version, so you kind of screw yourself there. But it's really hard to get CDs anymore. And, hell, I even tried to order some KISS stuff online, and I was actually having a hard time finding KISS Alive by itself. I can't find the German version with the backwards Z's. I don't like that shit. I want the fucking actual, you know, remaster version that came out in 97, dude. I don't want this bullshit, you know? So I was like, God damn, it's getting really hard to find good stuff anymore. So that being said, talk about political correctness. Unfortunately, I don't have an ability to play the clip separately. But someone sent me an old Looney Tunes clip where it says Warner Brothers was based as fuck, or they didn't give a fuck. And, yeah, it was Looney Tunes. And basically, it was the one where there was a bunch of Indians firing on the fort with bows and arrows. And Bugs Bunny's up there with his rifle, and he's wearing obviously a blue army uniform. And he's up there singing, you know, he's popping off the rounds. Pow, pow, pow. One little Indian tooth, or one, two, three little Indians. Pow, pow, pow. Four, five, six little Indians. Uh-oh, wait a minute. No, that one was a half-breed. And he is actually racing half the hatch mark that he's putting on the fucking wall. Pow, pow, pow. Seven, eight, nine little Indians. No one's coming up behind him with a hatchet. He just doesn't even look. He just kicks the guy off. Ten little Indian boys. And it's just like, oh, wow, this kid is fucking said half-breed. Now, it's interesting because I brought this up because of the fact that you see a lot of these movies, they're talking about actually trying to take off because they're no longer politically correct, because they may have used language that's no longer acceptable or things like that. First of all, that is very disturbing because of the fact that, how many times have I mentioned on here, you cannot have a future time period, look back on a past time period, and be able to pass judgment. Because, one, you don't understand how things were at the time, due to politics, reasons, certain codes of conduct, certain censorship that was available at the time. You know, and there's just 1939 at the end of Gone with the Wind, when Rhett Butler says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." Everybody's horror because it's a damn. Yeah? The sentiment was very hardcore, and of course they left it wide open for a sequel, which happened. But how much they're going to try to take a lot of the Civil War type of programs off because it shows mammies, slaves in the field, and all this. This is history, dude. But see, here's the funny thing they don't tell you. One is a good portion of those large plantation owners weren't whites. They were Jews. A lot of them were Jews that owned slaves in the South. Matter of fact, the first registered slave owner in Virginia, I believe, was a black man. So that information has come to light as well. Not to mention that good old Camel Toe Harris's ancestors used to own slaves. What's that, motherfucker? Yo, man, we're going to pick up some cotton, mister. So, I mean, it's some pretty fucked up shit that they want to pass judgment on us to get their own fucking family trees got plenty of fucking corpses hanging in. So I think there's some pretty funny shit. But we're going to cover a lot of stuff tonight, and I have a listener who wants to chime in and get his take on a couple things. We'll just call him Chuck. Yeah, we'll just call him Chuck. Could call him Tim. Could call him Sylvester. You know, I like Chuck because, you know, kind of like an up Chuck, you know, or because the fact that, you know, maybe he's got, wants to spew some real truth venom. I don't know, dude. Yeah, let's just stick with Chuck. I think Chuck will look just fine. So we'll bring him on here shortly. But I've seen a lot of crazy shit going on. One of the things that really disturbs me is this younger generation, since they've taken calligraphy away from the curriculum. These kids can't write in cursive. They can't read in cursive. So you've just dumbed down them astronomically. I mean, they can't even read the Declaration of the Constitution in its original format, which is very disturbing. I saw a political cartoon that was really profound, and it was basically just a dude sitting there with his hands in his pocket, kind of hunched. He's looking at the Constitution like encased in glass, of course. He's just like, Dude, it's that hope because it's, what the fuck? I mean, seriously, this is the type of shit that goes on here. And then we see parents are finally starting to step up, right? They're finally starting to step up. They're starting to see this shit. How many times I tell you, go to school board meetings, find out what the fuck's going on, especially since you live in that district, you have every right to know how your money's being spent. Take a time, look at your kids' fucking textbooks. Find out who the publisher is of these textbooks. Some of the authors, you'd be surprised when you start backtracking some of these things, go, hey, whoa, what the fuck? You want my kid to read the book from this asshole? So, I mean, seriously, we exposed that here in Springboro. We exposed the history of the United States or some shit from some fucking, I forget the guy's name, but it's pretty obvious. One, it was a rewritten book of history, and top it off, the guy was a Jew. So I mean, it's pretty obvious the guy had an agenda, and that's the thing. I mean, you got to start calling these fuckers out, because when you start connecting the dots, you start seeing the same thing. The same people that are heads and CEOs of all these corporations, all these particular now federal government agencies, it really says a lot, because the fact that we can't even trust our institutions anymore, they've been so compromised. And especially under this new usurper we have in our White House, this senile old man named Joe Biden, you know, he's starting to realize that people just ain't putting up with the shit. You know, we got him up in Michigan, and they got guys up there flags and chanting, fuck Joe Biden. And he just doesn't get the message, man. Instead, he would rather fucking send the FBI to go SWAT team a parent who goes to the school board and he says, hey, I don't want you teaching critical race theory. My kids tell my kids bad just because they're white. You know, any of that, but why the fuck do we have to put up the shit? You know, the real thing is, when going back to that Bugs Bunny thing I was telling you about, is they're like shocked that Bugs Bunny would say, oh, he's a half-breed. Well, let's look at something here for a second. Who put out this cartoon? Warner Brothers. Who was the Warner Brothers? Warner Brothers were actually two brothers who happened to be Jewish, and almost every single movie studio that was started in Hollywood in the 1910s and 20s were all Jews. So not only that, but many of the directors, many of the producers, the cameramen, the editors, many of them are all Jewish. A lot of the actors who had angelic names or shortened versions of the names that wouldn't sound Jewish were Jews. So, hell, Mel Blanc, who did the voices of Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig and all these other characters, Jew. So, I mean, seriously. So when they talk about wanting to take these programs, take them off, make them hard to get to, or to cut out certain episodes, there's a rule amongst Jews that you don't fuck over fellow Jews. So even if they're dead, their families and property rights still making money off their ass. And again, you also got to look at the fact that these cartoons are made during the war and they're meant as entertainment for our service members while they're overseas fighting a bullshit war never should have been in the first place. They had all these cartoons and all this footage up in the war zone. What the fuck are we going to do with this? Well, it's just regurgitating them for kids. You know, and that's the thing. So, I mean, some of the shit in there just really isn't appropriate for children. Some of the violence and stuff they always bitch about, yeah, because it was not meant for child consumption. But have you seen some of the cartoons these days they put out specifically for kids? Dude, I would rather they watch Looney Tunes any day of the week than some of the shit they watch now with all the smut, the homosexuality that always have questionable fucking scenes there. I mean, most of the children's programs you put out, you need to really take a moment to actually view this shit before you let your kid watch it, man. I'm telling you, there is so much stuff, so much smut. I would never let a child watch Disney movies, ever. Now, maybe watching Benji or something, you know, something from the 70s or something like that, not so bad. But I would still be leery about some of the shit out there, but not as much. But, yeah, it's definitely a serious clusterfuck. So we're going to run through a whole bunch of interesting stories. How the good old Uncle Joe, Yahoo, China Joe, is now sending the FBI after parents who speak up at school board meetings. Let me tell you something, dude. The shit's going to turn into something real fucking quick, and it better. That's why I titled the show Rise Up. The time is now. Someone sent me an excellent meme that was of Archie Bunker, and it says, you worried about losing your job? You should be more worried about losing your country. Yeah, dude, that's what I'm talking about. All right, we'll be back right after these brief messages, and we'll bring on Chuck.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You are listening to The Sonny Thomas Show with Sonny Thomas on ResolutionRDO.com. Call in now, 607-203-5423.
Very much. My name is Joel Price. I'm from Lamar County, Alabama, and I represent the League of the South. Commander Scoop, thank you very much for letting me do this. I want to point one thing out about Commander Scoop. Right there on his hammer, it says the word Ray Holt. That is the answer to every bit of this. This is how you do this. You do this through racial holy war. That is the only thing that will ever, ever bring about any kind of hope or solace for our people. Racial holy war. I want to tell you the two most important things that I can possibly imagine that anybody could ever say to anybody. First and foremost, we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children.
Here.
If somebody wants to ask you why that is important, it is important because just like Dr. Neal said earlier, if we're paraphrased, because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth. That is the answer to all of the theories. I think one of the most important things we could ever do, and I'm not trying to turn this into any kind of juvenile thing, if you do not know the 14 words, use your motherfucking fingers and learn them tonight. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. If you cannot say that, brothers and sisters, I don't know how much you love your race. Joel Price from Lamar County, Alabama just said that. Secondly, and to end this, the most important thing that I think I could possibly share to my people, hell Odin.
Hell Odin!
Yes, hell Odin indeed. And Thor Mittens, that's for sure. All right, we want to encourage you to call in at area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. All right, so like I said, the government's definitely starting to go rogue. Biden thinks he's somebody, and it's pretty obvious that he's pushing this radical agenda because they got dirt on him and his boy. So, again, a lot of this is happening because Trump did not do what was right. He should have yanked his national security clearance from him because of the fact that his son's computer alone compromised him easily, very easily. Plus the fact that we're finding more and more shit all the time. Joe's brother had basically gotten some leeway to do some business in China or something like that. So certain things are either cleared or certain paperwork was done for him. So we find that shit all the time with this criminal family. Plus the fact that, you know, the more and more you start diving into this shit, I mean, it's pretty obvious China knows what's on that laptop, or they put him in situations that they know about it. So they've got their own documentation. However, at the same stroke, there's all sorts of shenanigans going on in China's economy. I mean, they're starting to find out that they've got like an $8 billion deficit and a bunch of shit. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, plus the fact that they're Trump's trade war was really effective and put some serious cracks in the foundations of the CCP's hold on the economy and stuff. So, but they're really, really getting ready to swoop in on Taiwan. And I can see that happen very easily. And it's going to happen. Trust me, it is going to happen before you know it. So the biggest thing that I see right now is there's a lot of shit that's going on domestically. Biden is trying to force his damn vax mandates, and you got to ask yourself, and you know, what is the big fucking deal? We're finding out at the same time Fauci has got his hands dirty and a whole bunch of shit that he stood to make multi-billions of dollars from this, not to mention the fact that we're starting to have people come out, even heads of some of these vaccine companies are going, hey, man, this is bullshit, or this was not what it was meant to be used for. And at the same stroke, Pfizer is trying to get approval by the FDA to administer this shit to our kids 5 to 11. Now, it's pretty fucking obvious. Why would you be so hell-bent trying to vaccinate our children? Because it's not a vaccine. Because of the fact that it's rewriting DNA. And more importantly, probably what it is to make sure either it is a sterilant, sterilize our children. Again, if you haven't seen the movie Children of Men with Clive Owen and Julianne Moore, take the time to watch it. It is very harrowing to see what happens there. And that basically that all the women are sterile and basically the human race dies out 50 years. It's a very powerful film that needs to be seriously, and I would recommend people actually go and check it out. But those are some of the things that I'm concerned about is the fact that, you know, parents are finally starting to wake the fuck up. And it's not just about me harping it, saying, hey, go to school board meetings, find out what the fuck's going on. I mean, you're paying taxes, find out what the hell you're paying for. And the fact that some of these places have the audacity to ask for a levy renewal or even a fucking uptick when their schools were closed all last year. So what the hell do you need school programs? Well, I take public schools, for example, as an excuse to spend money. They condemned a bunch of their older school buildings and then fucking built new ones. And if you go into the new ones, like my alma mater, Belmont, dude, it's the only Eastside High School left. It's still had a 50% black population in it, even though most of the whites live here in the East End. And then to top that off, it's like, what the fuck, dude? I mean, you sit there going, like, are you fucking kidding me? So they build a new school. It's significantly smaller, and it can only house up to 1,200 students. The original was built in 1954, the first graduating class was in 56, and it was originally meant to house, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, I want to say 12 to 1,800, and then like about less than 10 years later, they added in another building to expand it. So it could actually hold up to like 18 to 2,000. And then it was actually well overstocked at its peak, over 2,400 students registered. This is probably by early to mid-80s. And then it slowly started going down because of the fact that some of the manufacturing, such as shit that Jimmy Carter did in the 70s, a lot of the manufacturing it started to go down a little bit. And then we started losing some of the big three here in the Dayton area. And then, and then Delphi finally kicked the bucket in the early 2000s. So, you know, that's a serious issue. Plus, we lost NCR because of Mayor Ron McLean. So, I mean, No one wants to stick around this fucking town. And then the current mayor, or the mayoral candidate, Bowers, I think his name is, one of the stats he's posted is that Dayton is the fourth poorest city in the United States. I don't know if I agree with that or not. However, I look at some of the shit that goes on in this fucking town, and I just kind of go, you know, I can see that. And a lot of it is because our manufacturing base has definitely dwindled dramatically. So that's a serious issue in itself. But, you know, I know other people that live in the city. I have some friends that work for the city. So a lot of these guys really kind of see what's going on firsthand. And so it's interesting to hear their take. So we're going to have Chuck give us his two cents on what he thinks is going on as far as the school board thing, for example. I don't know if he actually goes to the school board meetings himself, but I think he should. So,
we'll be there Monday night. Thanks.
Oh, are you no shit?
Yeah, we'll be there Monday night. Yes, sir. We got a photo this time of them not covering their face within 6 feet at a parade. So they're all sitting in the bed of a pickup truck, but, you know, they want to cover our force our kids. So, yeah, thanks for having me on again. I'm just a parent. Been outsourced. They sent my job over to the Philippines in about 2012. Started slinging auto parts just to get by and keep the food on the table, you know.
Yep.
Woke up to 2008. 9/11 was an inside job. Saw all that go down. I was ready to join up back then, just like everybody else, but they wouldn't take me because I was a fat kid. I lost a bunch of weight and glad I didn't go to Bankers Wars. So they still wouldn't take me because I just wasn't perfect. That's fine. So, you know, I'm just working, getting by.
Hey, kudos for you trying, man.
Yeah, tried to sue the school board a couple weeks ago just to prove to parents that they don't have right to represent their kids in the court of law, pro se. But pro se is Latin. It means to defend oneself. So they don't go back to the common law. They say there's nothing there that allows you to defend your kids. So hopefully my 18-year...
If your kid goes crazy and like turns into, you know, Columbine shooter or some shit, then you want to blame everything on the parent. Like, oh, how could you not see your kid do this? Or why do you let your kid sit there, paint their fingernails black and listen to Marilyn Manson? Why didn't you go, dude, you took my rights away to even fucking question what my kid's doing. I mean, this is what happens when you're not allowed to spank your children. I mean, seriously, it's like, you tell you what, nobody tells me how to raise my kids, because I tell you what, I was like, dude, you know, back in the day, you don't tell me how to raise my children. I mean, nobody told my mother how to raise my fucking ass, believe you me. I'm grateful that my mother was very strict, and she kept me out of a lot of fucking trouble. My
father
dad
too.
Probably would have let me slide for a lot of shit, and I would have gotten into a lot of trouble if I had lived with him. So just because he's not as much of a strict disciplinarian as my mother. So I'm very appreciative of that. And I'm just kind of wow. So, you know, in my case, I sat home a lot and listened to albums and stuff, read the liner notes like I mentioned earlier, and it kept me in a lot of trouble because I'd sit at home, you know, if I'm sitting home listening to same cassette tape three or four times over like we used to be able to do back in the day, that's probably about 2 or 3 hours worth of time that I'm not out there getting into trouble and being a juvenile delinquent, you know, because some of the guys probably hung with are probably not very smart to hang with, or even worse, you're probably messing with some girl, next thing you know, you go hump her somewhere, and guess what, boom, she's pregnant, you're fucking screwed at a daddy at 14, so, I'm very thankful to hard rock and heavy metal in the 80s and 90s because it kept me out of trouble. How about you?
It was Nintendo and video games for me. It kept me in the bedroom, and that made me the fat kid, you know. So, but I also had to build computers back then and put them together and built, you know, one for my graduation present and learned some ham radio and communications technology, and it really made me a good researcher and whatnot, helping other people do the same thing. And so I still don't have a degree, but I don't need one. I don't need to be in debt for all these years with debt money and trying to bring the silver liberation back.
If all these illegals come in, Biden wants to get money so all the illegals can get free community college.
Yeah. Yep. What does that do to our education? Dilute it. Makes it less valuable, just like the money. Oh, sorry, it's not money, it's currency. Man.
Well, yeah, but that's what the Federal Reserve is always worried about that. They're getting ready to launch a digital currency, which means they're going to phase out cash. Once they phase out cash, then it really puts a restriction on what patriots can do to sustain themselves. Plus the fact that Biden, through Yellen, by the way, Echo Bars, is trying to get it set up where they could basically monitor your bank account, and any purchases over $600 can be flagged. So
right.
If you want to go out and your refrigerator goes on the puts, I mean, you could go to fucking Best Buy. What's the average cost of refrigerator? Last time I checked, it was at least $900 to $2,000. So you could just go and buy a freaking refrigerator and you get flagged for buying an appliance. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Then they go look in your bank account. Oh, your family member gave you too much money this year and you didn't claim it on your taxes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Something like that.
You see where you have, it's a rabbit hole.
Yep. That's why we got to declare ourselves no longer to be 14th Amendment citizens, because they've overlaid the feudal system over top of this government. I know I've probably asked you before, Roger Sales, if you've heard of him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a patriot down in South America. He's been living down there for now. He was just on RBN with Statmiller recently. They kissed and made up, but he's getting people to file affidavits all over the country, because with your passport, you file your passport, you can make an affidavit declaring yourself a non-14th Amendment citizen, and that makes you a U.S. national. Then you get back your political rights, because nobody wants civil rights. That just makes you a slave, just like the guy that they supposedly freed.
Well, here's another restriction they're doing now, too. If you owe any back child support, they will deny you your passport. Now, here in the state of Ohio, you can go up to 6 months without paying, okay? A lot of states is usually only 90 days. But Ohio, I expanded that years ago. And so that's what really gets me. If you're consistently paying off, I mean, let's just say they have a minimum amount that they render in court judgments, okay? Let's just say minimum is like, what, $300 a month or some shit? No, yeah, $300 a month. So if you've got a minimum wage job, even though they can take up to 66% of your paycheck if they wanted to, okay, you're still not able to satisfy that amount just because you don't make as much, especially with Obamacare kicking in. Many of these fast food places will not give you more than 27 hours because anything over 28 is considered full time. So they don't want to give you benefits. So if you're doing 20-some-odd hours a week at minimum wage, which I don't even know anyone can even pay rent because it's just monetarily impossible, you're always going to build up an arrearage. So, which means you can be paying 5, 10, even 15 years after the child turns 18 and gets out of high school. And it's like, so you still can't get a passport because of the fact that you have an arrearage. Even though you pay every single week or every 2 weeks when you get paid, it's not like you're a slouch. You just don't make enough to satisfy the debt. But as opposed to some deadbeat who can manage to play the system and not pay for more than 6 months, I could see denying someone a passport because it looks like you're running. You know, I mean, look at Paul Hogan. He owed some back taxes in Australia. He was going to take a flight so he can go work on a new movie, and they denied him. They said, you can't leave the country until you pay this bill. And it was a significant amount. So it really fucked the guy. And I don't know if he was able to pay it and still, or maybe got advance on the film. I don't know. But it really set him back tremendously. And the guy's no spring chicken anymore. He was already old when he did Crocodile Dundee. He was probably, what, in his mid-50s? So, I mean, seriously, it's like, dude, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
they
want to
lock you out.
Yeah,
they want to lock you out because you are the collateral for their debt machine. And that's why the jab really perfects the collateral, because then when they change your DNA, just like the plants and the GMOs and whatnot, they can declare you property, and there's nothing you can do about it because that is patent law. When you change the DNA, you can't patent nature, but, you know, we are cattle to them, born on the land. Just like the feudal lord, if your daddy sold his, couldn't provide for you and all, or whoever himself, and he sold himself to the feudal lord, then he owns that land and everything on it. So anything born on the land as well. So we got to get back to common law. That's how we fight these bastards.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, too, that ever since the War of 1812, this country's been under admiralty law. And when you really start looking into that, you're like, whoa, what the fuck happened here? So essentially, this country was free from when we won the War for Independence until the War of 1812. Of course, they burned down the White House. But we've never been the same since. And when you think about it, every conflict that we've been in afterwards is always benefiting the bankers.
Setting us back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you I forget the guy's name offhand, but he's got a program out there. There's two versions. The first, you get a real long version. I think it's a little over an hour long or something like that. 90 minutes. But I call it All Wars of Bankers Wars. And
mm-hmm.
they also
have a slimmed-down
version that's more radio-friendly, which kind of encapsulates a lot more, but you get the gist of it. You really start to see and start connecting the dots. Every conflict we've been in, some that we've tried to avoid, they're all connected. It doesn't matter who wins or loses, the banksters always win.
Yep, didn't listen to George Washington. Beware foreign entanglements. Yeah, because they lend to both sides. So the winner will do anything to win. The loser will do anything not to lose, right? Survive or die. And they lend money to both sides. So they always come out on top.
Yeah, because the winner still has to pay, but they have more spoils to use as collateral. And then the losers have to pay because they lost and they have to build the shit back up. So, yeah, it's a win-win situation for the banksters.
Yeah, so, you know, just getting ready for the FBI to come knock on my door, like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, or a SWAT team, you like to get Roger Stone at 3 in the morning with a 65-year-old man and a half-deaf 70-some-year-old woman. Yeah, that's real fucking smart, guys.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I was at the, working around here under a local union, and all the guys want me to run for president, and... Yeah, so I went in and I went in down there at the executive board meeting and put my guy Fox on. So I sit up front. Yeah, I sit up front. I'm talking to the guys. I'm like, hey, you know anybody running for president? Yeah, this guy down at the garage named Chuck. We need to get him in here because the current president ain't running again. Hopefully I'll be unopposed. Wouldn't that be great? And the chair position's coming open, but all these elections, so – we're supposed to meet tomorrow and get together and form our own slate so we can get every position running, somebody running against those yahoos that are down there saying they're fighting for us. So I'm sitting there talking to the guys and making a little bit of a conversation before the meeting gets started. And one of the big guys come over. I don't know what title he held, but could you move to the back of the room? I should have said, well, why and whatnot and this and that. I'm sitting off to the side already, not at a table. So I complied with that. And he's like, well, would you put this on too? And hands me a cloth, piece of cloth, right? I said, no, I got one right here. It works just fine. It just well as that one does. You know, I don't need that. Well, they want you to wear that. So I've already got one. I'm following the rules. You can't kick me out. And so I went to the back, taking my notes and whatnot. See the president holding her phone up over the podium, trying to pretend like she's messing with it. I know she's taking my picture. That's fine because I took my own selfie and sent it to the group. Like, I'm here. Where are you at? So I'm watching, taking my notes, and they don't even offer me to sign the get well card for whoever they, you know, pass it out to. And I'm, you know, watching. They don't hand me an agenda. They keep their little folders and their finance, this and that, but I'm supposed to be a guest, right? Well, I didn't stick around inside after the meeting was all done and over. I wanted to get outside pretty quick, but they did leave one of their folders on an abandoned table right in front of me. So I picked that up, and I was going to flip through it, maybe even try and sneak it out so I get some good info on it later. And this mean female comes up right away and snatches it out of my hands, and I said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, why are you so rude? That's not for you. You can't look at that. I said, well, I didn't know. I'm a member, too. Why can't I look at that? Oh, and then the president hollers from all the way up the other side of the room. That's for executives only. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know. You got to kill them with kindness, man. Kill them. In that way. And so I go outside. I'm shaking hands, this, that, and the other, talking to everybody. Oh, I get all kinds of compliments. Oh, that's a great mask. That's a great mask. And so I'm like, well, I've done enough shaking hands and whatnot. It's time for me to go get back to the family. Walk over, get in the car. Didn't even realize Dayton police sitting behind me in the parking lot waiting for something. Wonder why they're there. Who called them? I haven't seen them there for weeks, and I've been going to meetings for weeks. Mm-hmm. And I know why they're there. They're there to intimidate me. Well, I wish I would have seen him before I started moving out, because I'd have went up and talked to him and asked him if he was there to intimidate me.
You know, that's how I would do it.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get in their face, be nice,
yes, I've done that.
Talk to them. And when they act, you respond.
Yep.
Got to be ready to respond, you know. Learning about how to reload, and I can't remember the name of a tool, but there's a machine tool that you can get for really inexpensive and turn a .22 casing into a .223 bullet with a little melted lead inside. So, you know, they want to try and take away the ammo, and it ain't going to happen in America.
Well, you know, this is bringing it up is because, you know, a lot of shooters always make sure they retrieve their flash for two reasons. One is you just don't want to litter. Secondly, you can obviously redo those bullets. But the interesting thing is that one of the positive things that I said when Discovery Channel was on is I'm no fan of Orange County choppers. I mean, it's pretty obvious. There's a bunch of stupid drama in there, and it's just retarded. But the good thing is a lot of the kids are watching that, and they were learning how to do fabrication. So they're watching how they're shaping the fenders and doing all this stuff. So it's starting to teach them basic skills of skilled trade instead of seeing stupid shit like Big Brother and, you know, Survivor. Stupid shit like that. Here's a show that's actually teaching you something of a skill that you may learn. And then, if you know, I always appreciate when I come across a young guy. Like, there's a guy in Arkansas, one of the stores I go to. He's probably early 20s, and he knows a lot about cars and tuning. And, you know, I don't know his full background, but the bottom line is it's refreshing to see a young guy who's actually turned some wrenches and kind of knows what he's talking about. And he's not even ASC certified. So that is a refreshing thing as opposed to some older shade tree guy who's worked on a lot of cars who, you know, figures stuff out in the long run. It's nice to see some young guys. But what really concerns me is I look at the work ethic of a lot of these young guys these days, and most of these guys show up to work just so they can earn the party money. They don't really give a shit about the job. They do just barely enough to get the job done so they don't get canned. And their work ethic is really shit. And all I can think of is, dude, you know, I'm almost halfway through my life, and I got to think, this young whippersnapper over here will be siding my fate when I fucking get my folks' age, and I don't like the thought of that. And especially their attitude is they want to kill us off, essentially put us in the gas chambers, because, in fact, if you get sick and you're not able to work, you're basically sort of burden the bottom feeder, and they don't want to keep you around. They'll just make sure they turn the damn dopamine drip off, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, not have to pony up that Social Security money they already spent.
Oh, that's
your money.
That's in front. It's an affront. I'll give you an example. I have a family member who's retired, and he's done fairly well for himself. He made a decent amount of money. But the problem is, though, he never played into Social Security because of the fact that he did stuff through a school. So he paid into a state retirement system, okay, which is all fine and good. But on some things, though, they still took Social Security out of his check, but he'll never be able to fucking retrieve that. And I have a serious problem with that because either they deny you because either you didn't pay into the system enough or because, long before he did that, he did other things. And so he paid into Social Security like anybody else, but he's never able to draw off of that. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit. And if you make over a certain amount of money, they'll deny you Social Security benefits. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit because the fact that you paid into it, it's your money.
Exactly.
If he didn't pay for very long, he should still get, even if it's a $50 check every fucking month, he's entitled to that.
Yeah. Yeah, or they take it away if you try to keep working, right? You can't have all of it. You can only have a little bit because you're working a minimum wage job, making a little bit extra.
Yeah, I see that with the older guys. They're only allowed to work so many hours a day, like maybe up to 6 hours. And I've seen that with the place I worked at. We had a bunch of older folks who were doing inspection on parts we were doing. And typically they would work 4 to 6 hours a day. If they worked 5 days a week, that was not bad, but some only worked four. But the bottom line is they're still useful. And that's the thing that really bothers me is the fact that these guys paid in the system whole damn life, and they're basically told what they can and can't do with it, and then they give you such a little amount anyway. It's like, how can you even live off that shit? You'd be lucky to get cat food, much less your medication.
Right, and the quicker they kill them off, the harder it'll be for the next generation to learn and gather their knowledge, to retain that knowledge for the patriots and the society, not society, we don't want communes, but...
It's good you brought that up because the reason I say it is because a lot of the stuff that our grandparents learned from the Depression era, when the economy really took a tank, some of them, if they didn't know it already, they learned from their parents about how to do proper canning techniques, to make sure you could store food for long periods of time.
That's why I like to focus on food.
Yeah, I saw a documentary on the Dust Bowl, man. Oh, my God, you talk about horrific. I mean, there was so much loose soil out there. Shit was blowing everywhere. And what's interesting is, white people are pretty resilient coming up with solutions. They would come up with some sort of tasty mix so they could stick it in the cracks of the house and the windows and shit to try to keep the dust out. But it's almost like a COVID fucking thing back then because, in fact, everybody had to wear a mask because there's so much dust in the air, you couldn't breathe. And it was just like, holy shit. And if it's like bad enough for you, imagine it's like if you have any farm animals left. So
yeah,
it was a pretty powerful documentary on how they survived. And that's an interesting thing is our kids don't even walk to school anymore, Chuck. And they have complete control of our kids from door to door. When you and I went to school, we probably walked to school. I walked every day.
I did.
4 years of
my
high
kids
school.
Walked to school, too.
I mean,
we live right
around
the corner.
I knew how to prepare for weather. I knew how to deal with all that shit. I knew how long it would take me to get there. Sometimes I would challenge myself and run at different paces just to see how much time I can make up. I try to make the routine actually a little bit more... less routine, you know what I'm saying? So I would try to change it up a little bit.
Less monotonous.
But, but now, for example, in Springboro, they had finally started building sidewalks on Main Street, going up to the school, and literally it stops at a hedge by this house. The last house is on the block before you go to the entrance of the school. And there is no sidewalk at all that goes up to the school, only two driveways, one going in, one going out. And so... I'm like, okay, so if I rented this house here on the corner, on the other side of that hedge, and just say I had a kid that was attending that school, you're going to try to tell me that my kid has to wait on a freaking school bus instead of just walking through a gate or going over the hedge to walk on the school property? I don't think so.
Right.
But that's the type of shit that goes on. They feel they have full control
over
your children.
They want to save a little bit of money. They want to save a little bit of money and... Yeah, it might take that kid for a while to walk there, but he's thinking. He's learning to slow down and take precious thought and focus on the details and the little things, stop and smell the roses. He ain't, around
Literally.
Looking. Yeah. It's
crazy. It's funny, as soon as you said that, I instantly had a flashback. I remember when I used to go to, I actually went to parochial school off and on when I was growing up in grade school. And I remember walking down the road, and by this one house, there was two small apple trees that grew on this out of this people's yard. And I used to love spring and summer because I would always grab these little, they're almost like little granny apples. I used to love grabbing those and eating those on the way home. And it was just like, oh, hell yeah, and you gave me something to look forward to because, you know, two-thirds of the way home, I could grab one of those apples and start eating one. And you talk about smelling the roses. You know, those are things that a lot of kids have no situation awareness abilities at all, because when you walk to school every day, you're going to be mindful of dogs. You're going to be mindful of slow cars driving by. That's why I have a serious problem with some kids that are out there. They put the earbuds in the ears, and they have no clue what's going on around them. So, you know, a potential rapist could go up behind a girl and just attack her and shit, and she'd never know because she's sitting and listening to Eminem. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the largest, one of the largest busts in history happened here in Ohio. What, 161 child pedophiles and child sex gang, or not gang, but pedophile rings, right? Got a councilman in Cleveland.
Gang.
And yeah. Yeah, it's just, man. But, yeah, kids are in a rough time. But, you know, we're fighting back as best we can. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to put this pen to paper and to try and get action done by the courts. And none of these lawyers are standing up. So you have to have a lawyer to support your kid. But Tori, you heard of Tori Says, Tori Says is her cast. But Tori Mad, I can't pronounce her last name, Madaras or something, or Madras. But she's got a Telegram group. And, yeah, we can all go and look. She needs affidavits. To support a writ of mandamus against the governor to force him to uphold the Ohio Constitution. As, I don't know if I've told you about Article 1, Section 21. Have you read that yet?
I think you missed somebody.
Yeah, so that says that no individual, law, state, or rule, or whatever, can force anyone into a medical system. And medical system is defined as one, medical services. Making somebody cover their mouth and breathe their own waste is pretty non-serviceable.
Wasn't
service.
That the health freedom? Wasn't that the Health Freedom Amendment that the Tea Party pushed to help counteract Obamacare?
Yes, it was enacted in 2011.
Yes, I knew the guy that pushed that.
Yeah, so that's what we need to hit them with. They take an oath to this thing. It's in writing. So,
yeah,
you know, we need to push this writ of mandamus, and then that should fall. And other things that we're doing, you know, we had ideas like to become notaries and take these affidavits around and just notarize them right there on the spot. Okay, sign. Put in a one line. My child is being irreparably harmed. And, you know, notarize it and fax it off and email it and pile them with paperwork, man. Pile them with paperwork. Because I heard a story down in, I think it was Louisiana. They put this lady in a dark room when she was trying to file, and she had to put her paperwork in a drop box. And they gave her a box and an envelope that was too big. It wouldn't fit. It wouldn't go down. And then they surrounded her with several armed guards, look like marshals. So, you know, just this poor little woman, mother, trying to do this stuff. So it's time for this to stop, way past time.
I see that a lot, and just some other crazy shit going on. But, again, it's good to see the parents finally start stepping up to see what the hell their schools are doing, because one of the things I did was, like, when Kelly Coles was still in on the Springboro School Board, I was really hoping to push to get them to start bringing Christopher Riding back as a mandatory thing like we did before. unfortunately, they had so much shit on the table they had to deal with while they had the conservative majority. We just literally ran out of time. And part of it was this damn teacher's contract they had been pushing for a while. And Kelly had worked it so that not one single person lost a job, nor did they get a pay cut. And it was something everyone could be happy with, but it wasn't costing the school system as much money. And all they had to do was they had to kick in a little bit more towards the health care. So for the most part, everyone was generally happy. I seen all these people wearing red shirts and stuff in there and stuff. And it's like, our school colors are blue, dude. And so I walked in one day, I saw this stuff. I was like, what the fuck is this, red shirt day at Kings Island? Well, if anybody knows what that means, that's fag day. That's when basically all the fags come out and shit, and they get to run around the park all by themselves. I knew a guy who, he did not know what this shit was. He just wore a regular red T-shirt or something he got from work, and he's a decently good-sized buff guy. The guy came up on him while he's with his wife and kid, and started grabbing his ass, thinking he was part of the tribe. And he just turned around and just draw back and just clocked this guy and knocked him flat out on the ground. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? So some fucker just comes up and grabs my ass like I'm a fag or something. He's like, dude, it's red shirt day. And he's like, I don't know, what the fuck does that mean? He's like, well, what do you think you're gay? Dude, he goes, literally rips the damn shirt off like the Hulk, walks into the gift shop, goes by a beast T-shirt, and throws it on him because of the fact he's like, I'll be damned if some fag is going to come up and grab my ass.
I remember that. But that'd be a great counter-op, right? Wear our shirt, our blood shirts in there on that day, and when they want to assault us, we return the favor. Just like that. Oh, I knew what it was. Why'd you assault me? So, you want to touch my ass?
That's why when we came up with the blood tea, it's twofold. One says nothing counts more than blood, and not only that, but why is it red? Because traditionally, the Spartans as well as the Romans had oftentimes that red close because it would help conceal injuries. And so basically that's why I chose that red colored shirt because it helps to conceal the injuries you may get. So I thought it was a good homage to our ancestral war in the past. And, just a little tip of the hat.
But they try and take these symbols away from us and we need to take them back.
Yeah.
Because all they claim we
that.
Appropriate culture, but they do that.
Right, and not only that, but it's like if you post anything Nordic on Facebook, they'll try to flag you for hate symbols and shit. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me that they can have all this other crap going on there, but if you are a little self-aware and trying to get back to your original tribe, so to speak, they'll flag you as a white supremacist. And it's like I said, if you're a politician and you join the local Polish club because you're Polish, you're seen as a supremacist. But anyone who's black, it being all these black-affiliated public things like National Black Realtors Association or whatever case it be, they can be part
of it. It's a safe space,
NAACP.
But if the white guy goes in there, he gets kicked out.
Yeah, he's only one. He's in his local German club, dude. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, he's doing racist. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But the reason why we've got this far is people don't stand up. And again, they're not rising up. They're not standing up for themselves. Not saying, hey, screw you, dude. You know, I got nothing to be ashamed of. As a matter of fact, I'm proud of what I do or what groups I'm affiliated with. We got to let the water off the back of a duck because I'm telling you, the more that you allow them to try to vilify you because of your affiliation, it should be a sense of pride, not of shame. And I think that's why a lot of people back down because they're basically, they know the Delphian method or to try to shame you on something that you're proud of, and there's no reason to be ashamed at all. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and
so
I might have a little Irish, but I'm mostly Cherokee and Shawnee, and my ancestors died on the Trail of Tears, so I'd love for them to come and talk to me about slavery.
I know, right? So, what is there anything else that's under your call that you want to get off your chest?
Not really, just the affidavit thing for Tory that, you know, if we push this affidavit, I think we can make them sit down. You know, try and get our councils to pass non-discrimination ordinances, that will shut the school boards down. Because Lebanon, down South Ohio, Lebanon has done this. And so they've already got it there. All we have to do is duplicate it and put in our city name. That could happen all over the country. There's just so many fronts, man, for us to fight on. We could go on for hours and hours and hours.
You know, one thing that I wanted to do after the Dayton shooter was how Nan Wally actually handled that shit. I wanted so bad to go down to one of the city council meetings and just give her a piece of my fucking time, man, and just say, look, you are a despicable piece of shit human being, and here's why. Instead of going up or use this as an opportunity to use gun control blanket to try to take our guns, what you should have gone is up and said, look, don't let this asshole ruin the image of our city just because he decided to go shoot up the place. You want to brag about the cops? Fine, the cops got their post-case and took care of the fucking situation. That being said, there was actually people that were in Ned Tepper's who were concealed carry but were afraid to produce their firearm to stop the guy because they were afraid that they may get shot by the cop.
Exactly.
And then top that off, I would go, you could actually prevent it faster than the cop was there. And secondly, I would go, how about this? Hey, man, how about you go, instead of worrying about this asshole who's trying to do to the Gem City, why don't you look at the positives of what Dayton has? Location, 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 right? But the crossroads of America, it's 75 and 70. We have a long history of entrepreneurship, starting with John Patterson, Charles Kettering, the Wright brothers. We have a lot of history here of what made Dayton such a great Midwestern city, and we can have that again. And it's like, there's so much real estate that's available for corporations to come in and make their headquarters here. You know, give them some tax abatement so they can be here for 10 years plus. I mean, there's no excuse, man. There's a lot of property down by the river that's been reclaimed, like some old factories and foundries that have been demolished finally, like by Webster Street, that have been reclaimed. You know, great real estate to build a headquarters for a company. So, like I said, I don't understand why these people just want to keep squeezing control on something instead of going, nah, dude, why don't you open your arms up for a while and say, come here. But no, don't be a sanctuary city. I do believe she was trying to make Dayton a sanctuary city. So if what Bowers is saying is Dayton's the fourth poorest city in the United States, that's pretty despicable because we're looking like behind like Detroit and stuff like that. You know, in my travels, when I tell people I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio, they go, oh, my God, I hear it's bad out there. And I jazz it up and go, oh, yeah, dude, we're like fifth in rank of murder per capita right behind Detroit. Well, that's actually not too far from the truth because a lot of the drugs that come up to here end up going to Detroit. So, you know, I remember years ago cops found a drug stash by Welcome Stadium. And I said, oh, boy, somebody fucked up, man. I said, someone's going to pay for that one. About a week later, a known drug offender was found floating down the Miami River. And it said, how much you want to bet that was the dude that lost that stash?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You know, that's the thing.
Ass,
they make it, they make it illegal. So that way now we got these cartels and stuff. My neighbor running from them. Can't, you know, his people down in Tennessee is getting bad down there with the meth and the alcohol, people crashing and getting shot, and they're
the
taking us apart all over.
Bad because Obama killed the coal industry in Appalachia so bad. They had nothing but drugs to replace that economy with, and the tweakers are getting really bad down here. I have some friends that live down here, and they're constantly having to be up. That being said, I was up here at Belmont Days last weekend, and Dayton Police had one of their SWAT team vehicles there. They call it the Bear Cab or Bearcat, which is the smaller of their two assault vehicles. And I talked to some of the officers there for a little while, and an older gentleman came up. He's about in his early 70s. He says, yeah, I moved up in here about 12 years ago. And he says, these kids don't give a damn. They just come on your property without, you know, any repercussions whatsoever. And then he come walking in the house. He's like, Dylan, get out of here. He's like, fuck you, old man. So he goes in the house, pulls out his fucking 12-gauge. He's like, oh, yeah? Fuck you. And then it's just like, oh, shit. So they try to get him for brandishing. But it's like, dude, he's defending his property. And then not too long after that, he said he was a victim of home invasion. Thankfully, he had his firearm, and he was able to fend them off. But it's like,
right,
dude, well, you used to never see shit like that in the neighborhood I grew up in. I mean, where my grandpa lived and my uncle lived until recently because he died, I don't even recognize the neighborhood anymore. I mean, seriously, it has gone to such shit that I'm going, God, I can't believe I grew up here. And it's just like, wow. I mean, it's like everybody parks in the grass now because they're afraid to get the car out in the street. I'm like, dude, if I ever parked in the grass, I'd have a ticket so damn fast, I wouldn't be able to pay them. But it seems like it's okay now. I reckon just park up on the grass strip and by the sidewalk. I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this city, dude? So, I mean, seriously,
yeah.
It's gone to shit. It really has gone to shit.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I appreciate you giving me the time. And if you want to do it again, I'll give you an update where we're at. But next Friday is nominations, and then it's going to be time to campaign.
Oh, definitely. Well, if you're successful, feel free to come on and let us know what you thought there, man, because we need people who got gumption like you and have leadership skills. And you know what's interesting is that some of the best leaders in history are the ones that were most reluctant. Either they didn't think they could do it or it was thrust in their arena, and they had to learn to deal with it. Oftentimes, those make the best leaders, not the ones that are glory seekers and seek for the power, but the ones where they're basically either duty-bound or it was a necessity because it affects their family. And those
right.
are the best leaders overall. So I wish you the best in your campaign, man. Hopefully you give us some good news for the future.
Yeah, yeah, sure will. But, yeah, that's why when they come and tell me, I hear you're running, I said, no, I'm not, but if they nominate me, I'll accept.
I would say, I'm not running from you, I'm running at you.
Yeah, exactly. All right,
that's
good
cool.
show, man.
Talk to you, bro. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we got his take on some interesting stuff. So, like I said, we see a lot of crazy shit going on here, man. It's just absolutely insane. Absolutely fucking insane. Okay, the opening song tonight was Rise Up by Testament from the album Dark Roots of Earth. And I think it's a pretty good, powerful song, that's for sure. But I encourage you to definitely check out other programs here in the Resolutionary Network. Now, we can definitely use your support. We are tied off from a lot of digital processors, so we still have to do the old reliable. Some people that actually know me personally have actually handed over some cash, which is always very appreciative. Others have sent me payments through the snail mail. And if you want to do that, information is here in the show title. So you can send check or money order, well-concealed cash to me, P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. And, of course, your funds definitely help us to improve some of our technical infrastructure here. Like I said, I've been able to get a couple extra external hard drives, so I'm able to back up stuff to keep show archives and things like that. So I thank you very much for those people who have donated. And also those that have bought the shirts. My first shirt for Resolution Radio actually sold a lot better than I thought it was going to. I thought I was going to sit on this for a little while. I was amazed at how many people said, I want one. And so I was able to send them right out real quick, or I was able to put them right on the backs as soon as I saw them. So thank you very much. So if you want to order your Resolution Radio blood tea, it's $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. So I'm trying to keep the cost down. It actually costs $7 to $8. But, you know, I'm just trying to keep a good even number so that people are more receptive. I'm not making that much profit off of it because whatever money they get from the shirts – go plow right back into Resolution Radio to pay a lot of our basic overhead costs. But we love to expand. We also are looking to expand with original programming. So if you have a voice and you think you might want to take a stab at it, contact me directly and we'll look at try to groom a show for you. I'm also very appreciative to have a platform and have a microphone because the fact that I've had very successful guests come, and I offer them the mic to host, and they really like it, and ended up starting some of their own podcasts. So not to take my own horn, but I've had some individuals out there that are fairly prominent or fairly well known that have either grateful the opportunity to host the program or they started their own programs shortly thereafter. So great news. Next week, I will be featuring an interview with Lee Ossie-Dupree from the South Africa Family Relief Project. So she's going to give us an update of the things going on down there and some of the shenanigans that's going on with the government and their outright white genocide to murder the Boers. And plus the hard work and dedication that their project's doing to just try to feed the families that are already available and just to build basic shanties. So Munseyville and stuff like that, basic little shanty towns that have the most basic infrastructure you can imagine. Basically, think about living in a shack or in a shed, and every time it rains, having muddy floors because the water runs up underneath the walls of the shed. So when they actually are able to pour concrete and actually pour some concrete, even as a bowl shape, it's a big help to them for hygiene as well as for their overall well-being. So, you know, a lot of stuff that we take for granted these days, these people see as a luxury. So, again, go to SAFRPSA.org, and you can see some of the stuff that they've done there. But Lee will be on next week to tell us about that, and she will be guest hosting in about a month or so to give you a little bit more detail about her project and some of her successes as well as the trials and tribulations. I will include links if you want to send some funds directly, or you can purchase food vouchers through an app that they have available. And I recommend you use a laptop as opposed to phones because some of the pop-up windows do not work on mobile. And a little bit goes a long way. I mean, 50 Rand is basically $3.37. So instead of giving it to the Fellowship of Christians and Jews for some geriatric old fucking Jews in Israel in a rich country like you see on TV, how about send it to someone who's actually trying to support several families and making sure that they learn some skills. They've got machines where they've learned to make bricks and not only building infrastructure with those bricks, but able to sell bricks in certain times of the season when that option is available for marginal cost, but still making a little bit of money. So these are little things that people are resolute, man. They're resolute, and they're doing their damnedest just to survive and try to put food on the table and learn some good, good skills, that's for sure. As we see all the time about the violence that happens to those farmers out there, and believe me, one activist who would post on Twitter regularly posted some of the most horrific, horrific crime scenes you can imagine of what happens to some of these Boer family. One particular family they attacked, it was a family of three on a small farm. They attacked. They completely accosted the husband, tied him down, gagged him, made him watch as they took his newborn baby, threw her in a boiling kettle of water, and boiled the baby alive, and then tied the wife down to the kitchen tables. Her arms and legs were tied to the legs of the table. And six or seven of these keffers just absolutely savaged her. They took turns gang raping her and then just absolutely accosted her with implements I can't even tell you. And then murdered her right in front of him before they blew his fucking brains out. So you can imagine before you meet your maker, seeing your family savaged and wiped out right in front of you. Believe me, motherfuckers, that shit's coming here. With this Black Lives Matter and all this other fucking crap, as whites, we need to start looking out for each other. We need to really start pushing the neighborhood watch areas, and we need to really start turning off the TVs and the radios and listening to the sounds that go on outside. Get used to your situation awareness. Know what it sounds like when people use certain lawnmowers, what type of vehicles people drive, things like that. People that live in ghettos and in low-income areas are very familiar with this type of shit, and they know if they hear a vehicle that isn't old Joey down the street here, dude, that doesn't sound like his old Pontiac. That sounds like a fucking Buick that I haven't heard before. You instantly start looking. I'll give you an example. When you watch even the movie like Boys in the Hood, when they're sitting on the porch and someone's driving down the road, everybody's fucking like leaning forward and looking like, who the fuck's that? Like, am I going to have to move? Am I going to have to do something? I mean, you drive through any country road, man. I don't care if it's Tennessee, Georgia, backwoods of Ohio somewhere. You come driving down the road, anyone who's on a porch is watching you because they're trying to say, who the fuck is that? It's a natural human thing, but the thing is, everybody watches someone that comes through, especially if it's not someone they're familiar with. So they're always making sure that that person is a friend or a foe. So you almost have to have that mentality. And if you're out there cutting your grass, dude, look around. Don't just zone out with earmuffs or earbuds. Look around you, man. You'd be surprised what you see just when you're cutting grass. People think you ain't paying attention. You're looking around. You'd be surprised what you fucking see. And you never know. You might witness something that just happens, and you can, correct a wrong or prevent a crime altogether. Like I said, people want to disconnect from reality. I understand that to a point. This is going to be our survival, man. In some of these rural places where they're starting to build sidewalks, that means the migrants and the minorities are going to start coming into y'all's neighborhoods, and you're going to start seeing crime rates go up. That ain't no stereotype, dude. That is a fact. That is an absolute fact. So you get places like parts of Springboro, Beaver Creek, Bellbrook that don't have sidewalk systems, and all of a sudden they start putting them in, you start seeing people shuffling back and forth, dude. And look who's walking around. Look who's moseying. Look, people act like they ain't doing nothing, just walking down the street. He's scoping shit out, dude, trust me. And all of a sudden shit off your porch comes up missing. Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about, situation awareness. So just always assume that someone you don't know is up to no good. There's probably a pretty good chance that is the case. That is definitely the case. Okay, here's some also last-minute good news. I can tell you this. I was looking at purchase tickets to Testament, Exodus, and Death Angel on the Bay Area Strikes Back tour, and I was looking forward to that. I could not do the Covington show because I had other plans, and so I was going to go to Newport up there in Columbus. But as soon as I went to purchase tickets, instantly a thing comes up that says, oh, proof of vaccination. Well, fuck you. Basically, they gave in because OSU just did a mandate that all faculty and students and staff must be fully vaccinated to return to the university. But watch how fast people enrollment drops off. Now, some of these fuckers may do it because they're in their last year of school and they want that degree. So that's what they're hoping on. I'm still going to find someone to stick you. But enough of us say, no, we're not doing this shit. And the more and more we're starting to find what the fuck's in this stuff and what it's going to do, I'm telling you, it's one of two things. It's either to de-res us when they get the 5G fully implemented. So basically, if you start getting uppity, they just turn on the 5G full blast and boom, just like right off the Avengers, poof, you just turn away into a fucking bunch of dust. Essentially, that's what's going to happen, not literally, but you understand what I'm saying. Basically, all of a sudden you get sick. And it's another form of crowd control. So instead of having ground control from the air, they just have it on radio waves. And so that's how they're going to do it. It's almost better than an LRAD. So not to mention, how do you know it's not sterilizing you or causing other major organ failures within a few years? Trust me, it's coming. It's fucking coming, dude. Fluoride is a slow kill. This would be a fast kill, that's for sure. Okay, so we're going to close with a dissident. Victory shall be ours. And we will catch you next week with Lee Apsi-Gapri. Salachima. Victory!
comrades.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look toward the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I am a former congressman, physician, and presidential candidate. The world is in turmoil. Things like Ebola, earthquakes, wars, and famines are commonplace. As Americans, we are largely sheltered from these events. However, in parts of the world, just having enough food is a huge problem. For some of us, there is the nagging thought that we may not always have it so good. So we keep some food on hand just in case. My family and I have found a product that helps us do this better. It's a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. With it, we eat healthier and store a little more food. We freeze dry everything we love to eat, and it lasts up to 25 years. Who knows what the future will bring? One thing certain, my family and I will always have food on the table. To learn more, go to harvestright.com or call 800-763-5999. That's harvestright.com or 800-763-5999.
I didn't truly understand the Second Amendment until I was stalked, threatened, and told to fear for my children's lives. I knew in that moment that my right to defend my life and my family is sacred, and so is yours. Never let them take it away from you. It is your choice and no one else's. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789. Or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
I must tell you, the right to defend yourself, the right to keep and bear arms, does not protect your right to shoot deer. It protects your right to shoot at the government when it is taken over by tyrants. These are... the quintessential American right.
The right to be left alone.